Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 121. It's opening day. We got here. It happened. Baseball's still kind of happening, sort of. There's blowouts all over. But we're watching some baseball right now as we wrap up Thursday night here. We're going to recap some of opening day and get you ready for week two fab, which will be the new Thursday night tradition. So before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDIntric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how we doing, man?
Got baseball on while we're recording, so can't be better. It's the 16-1 Diamondbacks Rockies game, which the Diamondbacks batted around twice in the same inning in the third inning, which is just unfathomable. If there are any Rockies fans as listeners out there, my heart goes out to you. Our hearts collectively go out to you all. But no, man, had a great opening day. Worked this morning. Our golf, a little nine holes of golf got rained out, but went over to loyal listener Scott's house with my dad and watched baseball for 4 or 5 hours and ate pizza, drank beers. It's a good day. It's a great day.
Yep, jealous. Very jealous. I worked and went to a three-year-old birthday party. So
yeah. I win yeah, for you, once.
You win on this one, senor. I know as the season goes on and things get warmer and I start golfing a lot, you're gonna give me some crap. But I get
When I lose. Yeah, so today I'll take my win. If we talk about opening day victory laps, I'm taking mine.
Yeah, you win today. You win today, sir. But I've been catching up. I was watching on my phone because that's what I do. But it was some fun games. The day games were very lively. The evening's a little more of a lopsided affair. You're watching the D-backs. I got Guardians A's on, and the Guardians have the bases loaded, about to add on here in Oakland. And they might score more runs than total attendance by the time it's said and done. We'll see how that goes. But Ryan and I were talking off air. This could be an ongoing poll, but who's going to be worse this year, the Rockies or the A's? It's going to be pretty interesting. Throw the White Sox in there if you want.
Yeah, I was going to say the White Sox might be the right in vote. I don't know, man. The Rockies man. The Rockies do not have a legitimate pitching staff, or even semi-legitimate, or even a pitching staff. It's going to be, I don't know. I think the Rockies might actually be the worst team in baseball. Like, the A's get a lot of pub because they are bad. But probably more pub because of everything going on with Las Vegas. But dude, the Rockies, man, that's tough.
Yep. That's brutal. That's some brutal stuff there, but there were some good stuff. The Aces are the Bubba and the Bloom Aces got the job done today. Your boy Pablo Glasnow, I'll give you a part of him being your boy now. You're welcome. That was fun. The mascot got,
dude, the mascot.
Such bad treatment on that one, but he got his vindication in the end.
I mean, opening day was almost ruined when I saw the Angels lineup and Ragifo was not only on the bench, but Anthony Rendon was leading off and Aaron Hicks was batting second.
Miguel Sano was playing DH versus righty.
Miguel Sano DHing. Yeah. But our boy got in there, doubled, scored a run.
That's what he does.
In all seriousness, I it sucks that he didn't start today against Burns, but dude, he has to at some point break through the starting lineup. That's a bad lineup with a lot of injury risks, and Rengifo can play everywhere. So
yeah, he'll get his. I'm not worried at all because it already looks like the second the pitching situation changes, he's already coming in type scenario, the way they pinch hit in that game. So I'm not super concerned in that scenario. We'll see. Time will tell. Maybe I'm just naive because he is our mascot. But no matter what happens, he will always be the show's mascot, at least for this season. We might change season to season, but for now, he will be our mascot. Any other things? Because you got to watch it. Like, I know Scooble and Crochet put a nice outing together, especially in DFS. They freaking balled. There was a lot of fun, though. What else did you see from the day?
Not too much. We watched a good amount of Minnesota, Kansas City, which was interesting. The Yankees Astros game was fascinating. Mm-hmm. Josh Hader came in and with a one run deficit in the top of the ninth, struck out the side. Clay Holmes on the bottom half of the ninth got the save, but he needed a Juan Soto arguable outfield assist at home to get that save. That went to replay and they just couldn't review it. So that was interesting. It was definitely weird seeing Juan Soto in a Yankee uniform, but that was probably the best game of the day. Pittsburgh Miami went 12 innings.
Yes.
somehow.
Neither one could take advantage of the ghost runner for the first few innings. That was fun to watch.
And David Bednar did not pitch at all, which we'll get to in our news and notes. So that was interesting. Your Giants unfortunately went down. Robert Suarez now has two saves. Dude, a lot of bad opening day starters, man. Miles Michaelis at LA. That went
as expected.
As expected. Exactly. Yes. Josiah Gray in Great American Small Park.
As expected.
Gave up two homers to Nick Martini.
Yes, shaken, not stirred.
Yeah, double Martini afternoon. But Tariq Skubal dealt. Skubal did deal, so that was
Crochet that was in his first career start looked pretty darn good. So I'll give him credit on that.
He did. Two rainouts today.
Yep.
Which is honestly a good thing because Friday we get 2 day games, which is
cool. Yeah, because there was originally no day game schedule, which is nuts because like the Friday offs are for the weather reasons, exactly what took place. And if you are setting lineups for the weekend, since we're not talking about weekend streaming anymore, just beware there's a storm coming to the West Coast. And there's three stadiums on the West Coast with games this weekend. So you have Oakland, Cleveland, you have LA and the Cardinals, and you have San Diego and San Francisco. So just keep an eye on that as things develop. It's supposed to come in my neck of the woods around the afternoon on Friday. And Friday night and Saturday are supposed to be pretty heavy. So keep that in mind.
I'm glad it's down your way because we are headed up to Seattle on Saturday. But we're going to see the Mariners, bringing my four-year-old to his first baseball game on Sunday. Awesome. So we're going to see Mariners, Red Sox. The weather in Seattle looks beautiful. So roof should be open. It should be a great time up there.
Boyle Heights has a question. What team do you guys root for? Bloomfield, who do you like?
I don't really have. I mean, you're Giants. I don't really have a team. I really do like the Mariners a lot. They're a fun team. I like a lot of I love Julio. I love their pitching staff, but they're blacked out in Oregon, 4 hours away from Seattle, which don't get me started. But I'd go Mariners. Go Mariners. Yep,
I am born, raised, and forever will be a Giants guy. So yeah, there's no change in that one. Today was a rough one, but like I was watching it. And it was the bullpen, and it was one guy that back went out on him, and it might have went out a few batters before it really blew up just watching him pitch. So I don't know. Like, if a loss is a loss, I'm not going to sugarcoat it that way. But I was just happy to see Logan Webb not get destroyed like he did the last few starts in the spring. That was a plus. Yep. He ran the tightrope in the fifth and the sixth, but he did what aces do, got through it, got you six strong, gave you a chance to win. That's all I can ask for.
It's a typical Logan Webb outing, like less than a strikeout per nine, but went six innings, got five Ks, not bad. Got the quality start, two earned on six. Darvish looked pretty good. I don't know if that's more Darvish or the Giants, but he looked pretty good.
Alex Stewart asks, we'll get going with the show in a second, but Alex Stewart says, what do you think about Luis Matos starting the minors after a hot spring? Saw that coming a long ways away just based on the slew of guys without options. Basically, or at least major league talent that they have on the team. Once Austin Slater was cleared to play, Matos's chance shrunk. Matos will be back because the Giants will get hurt. Conforto won't stay healthy. Yastrzemski won't stay healthy. Yastrzemski's going on paternity leave starting on Friday for the weekend. So Matos might get to play this weekend. We'll see. But Matos will get his time. The more surprising one to some was Marco Luciano. But if you listen to this show, Bloomfield, I warned you all, Nick Ahmed, it was happening.
Yes, you've been on the, I don't know. It's not fair to say you've been on the Nick Ahmed train.
They need the defense train with all the pitching they've got now. So exactly. That's what that was.
You did warn us.
You've been warned. All right, let's talk about some news and notes from the day, though. Royce Lewis, it happened again. He had a home run, and then he left with an injury. So, Bloom, obviously we don't know the full details of the depth of said hamstring injury, but it didn't look good.
No, it didn't look good. And, like, I mean, this is just another, like, chink in the armor for Royce Lewis. It wasn't just the knee injury last year. It was the oblique and hamstring. And now it seems like some kind of quad or, I don't know, did not look good. And actually, Max Kepler got hurt today, too. But that was more of a fluke. I think he fouled a ball off his foot or something like that. So that's not as serious. But yeah, man, I don't know. Lewis, that was like the ultimate Royce Lewis game. You hit a homer and then you get hurt. Kyle Farmer started the game.
Over Edward Julian.
Edward Julian came in. Yep, Edward Julian came in for basically for Lewis. Kyle Farmer went over to third, and then Julian played second. And then Willie Castro started the game as well and played outfield. So I think your biggest winners, if Royce Lewis is out for some time, is some combination of Kyle Farmer or Willie Castro. Yep. And from a fantasy standpoint, I think the most, like, the highest impact potential is Willie Castro.
Yes.
Guy stole over 30 bags last year. We've been on him. He was mentioned on our on our player shares episode last week. And I think if Willie Castro gets regular playing time, that's a super speed boost for you.
Yeah, no, that was one, like, we kind of hinted at it, and we weren't alone in this one, but like all draft season, especially DC season, draft Farmer, because between Castro and Farmer, they will, you look at the stats the last few years, they still get a bunch of games because the Twins just can't stay healthy. Did we think this is not a victory lap? We want Royce Lewis to play. That's not what we're doing here. But it's just like, this is already proving the need for certain teams to just have the bugaboo. Is what the best way I'll say it. And like Joe Arrico said, it's spending way too much time around Buxton, apparently. Buxton
stayed healthy.
Game one.
He made it through the center field. He made it.
We'll see how the next game goes. Mr. Grouch says, were we expecting Nico Horner to hit seventh today? That was a bit of a surprise to me.
Yeah, surprise. But I don't know. I don't pay too much attention. Like, Nico Horner, he's going to play every day anyway. So, I don't know. I wouldn't look too much into it.
Yeah, we knew he was going to play for sure. I guess people want him up top because if you're not getting the power, you need the run production to go with the speed and the batting average. That's kind of what you're looking at. But it's like you have Ian Happ, Suzuki, Bellinger, Morel, Swanson. Michael Busch was playing first base. Then Horner, Tauchman, Gomes. Like, where does Horner really fit in there? Do you move everybody down and slide them in that second? I think they just kind of a, once Ian Happ got the leadoff spot, that's kind of it moved Horner to the bottom,
which he should from a real baseball standpoint. Ian Happ should. I'd be concerned. Seventh, I'm not too worried about with Horner. If he drops to ninth, then I'm a little bit worried because of the, you know, will he run as much out of the nine hole? But don't have to worry about that quite yet. Like, he's, I mean, if he hits seventh, he's ahead of the catcher spot and like Nick Madrigal or whoever they decide to put eighth. So I think he'd still run in that seven spot.
Sticking with the Cubs, Justin Steele was dealing. He was going full Blue Steele. Like, a tweet was about to come from me whenever he throws a good one, the Blue Steele gift comes out. And then he turned into a soccer player, like he got shot in his hamstring. So you've seen it. I was not watching the game again. You win today. But what are your thoughts on this? Because the reports from council was he's having an MRI on Friday, but we expect to miss him for some time.
Yeah, well, we will know more on Friday when this comes out. See, I got my days right.
Good job this time.
I'm improving. But yeah, it certainly had IL stint written all over it. Not a doctor, but like Steele, he did walk off on his own power, but that hamstring, I don't want to say snap, but like immediately he grabbed it and just went down trying to feel a swinging bunt. Got the out, but not good at all for a pitcher who we were both very, very high on. I'm hoping it's like, again, totally speculating here, but I'm hoping it's like 2 to 3 weeks and we get him back and we're good to go, but we'll see.
Yeah, that's the perfect storm. Perfect storm's 2 to 3 weeks. If you have to speculate, it's probably going to be Javier Assad or Hayden Wisniewski getting the run. I'd imagine Assad gets the first chance because that's kind of how it went last year, but either way, they're best left for streaming in my mind. Well, but again, we'll wait and see what takes place when things get announced on Friday.
Yep.
Let's talk yet a little closer info here. And we had a question in the chat that kind of goes with this by Kent Rasmussen. Jason Foley shoving today and getting a save. Tigers closer, ? Yeah, Lang didn't get in there. Didn't even pitch the eighth. Didn't pitch, period. Foley got the save. He had 100 at least once in that ninth. I saw that clip when I was searching the old Twitter bot there. So what are we thinking?
I mean, closers are super interesting because once you have a Foley who got two outs on two strikeouts and was pumping 100, if you start having success in that ninth inning role, like, that just, you know, why not go back to him the next time in the ninth? I have not, I probably should have looked this up before the show, I have not seen an explanation for why we did not see Alex Lang. So maybe it's nothing, but it's certainly like if you're just looking at usage, like I think Jason Foley is absolutely a spec right now. Did not get a ton of strikeouts last year, so that's more important than what we saw today. But possession is 9/10 of the law, as the great Jeff Erickson, probably someone before him said, but Jeff Erickson coined it in terms of closers. And if Foley's the guy, like I would definitely throw some bids out there. I mean, Lang did not pitch, and it was Scooble, Shelby Miller, Andrew Chafin, Foley.
Yeah.
Lang at all.
No, so. Lang, that's what I'm saying. Lang didn't even get in there. I'm looking at a Tigers beat writer now. He's mentioning Foley stuff, nothing on Lang anywhere. So I think everybody was maybe surprised by this, it seems like. And Foley is somebody a lot of people like. I know Michael Simeone, a buddy of ours, he was showing his most rostered players, that mainly because of DCs and whatnot, but he was all in on Foley as a dude. It would appear he's the guy. I just wouldn't go bonkers spending.
Yeah, I wouldn't overreact to what we saw today. Like, unless we get some more news on Lang, I'd still kind of assume it's Lang and not go overboard with Foley. And again, with Foley, I do want to get a 17% strikeout rate in 2022, which is awful, and a 20% strikeout rate last season. So he's got good control and he gets a lot of ground balls, but this isn't like a legend reliever. Yeah. But so we'll see.
Yep. I'm with you on that one. David Bednar did not pitch in the 12th inning in a save situation that went to the one, the only Aroldis Chapman. Reports came out that Bednar is still not fully healthy to get going, yet he's not on the IL. So how are we taking that scenario?
Yeah, that one I'm a little more concerned about, because you would think Bednar would be good to go. And I think he pitched at the end of spring training.
He did. And he said he felt great. That's why it's right. Confusing.
So, like, very confusing. I don't think the Pirates had a save chance in this one. It was just I think they were down for most of the game. It's obviously very telling to go 12 innings and not have Bednar at all. So if it's not Bednar, Aroldis Chapman did look really good. He pitched a clean inning, 8 pitches, 7 strikes, 1 strikeout, and would be the guy if this rehab is taking longer than we thought. It just feels like the Pirates are hiding something.
Yeah, it doesn't feel right, because why wouldn't you put him on the IL if he's not ready to go? It's just a total weird dynamic across the board to me with what's
especially
going on
there. Especially after he pitched in spring.
Yeah, like tell me something went wrong or whatnot and go from there. But guess we'll see. And then Griffin Jacks got the save. Stewart pitched the 8th inning. He looked decent. He looked fine. But Jacks got the save, as Mr. Grouch mentions. And that made me feel good, because I had him drafted in places. I had it as one of my big – well, didn't spend a ton, but that was one of my fad targets when it came to saves. So Jacks – and then I saw – I can't remember who tweeted it. He had 0 walks all spring training and walked the first batter that he faced. But I was like, that's Bobby Witt. So maybe he was playing around. He had a 3-run lead, but he picked up the save.
Yep. And it was – so, yeah, we were watching that one. Brock Stewart came in, because there was some speculation that maybe Brock Stewart's the guy. And it still might be matchup-based, but Brock Stewart came in the 8th and pitched against the 7-8-9, led off by David Fletcher, of all people.
Wow.
Good God. And then Jacks got the 1-2-3 in the 9th. So it certainly seems like Jacks is the highest leverage reliever, could very well be the closer for as long as Yohan Duran is out. To go back to Foley real quick, Kent Rasmussen in the chat says Foley's velocity was up 2 ticks from last year. So we did mention the fastball velocity today, and that does matter. If a reliever can go up 2 miles an hour on their fastball, that does bode well for a improvement in strikeout rate from what we've seen in the past.
No doubt about it. Mr. Bloomfield says, shout out to Lady Burke's homemade cinnamon and coconut rolls. Ooh. How were they?
Fantastic. A lot of carbs today. A lot of carbs. Well,
it's your holiday. You're allowed to do that. That's kind of the rules of the game here, but that is okay. That's kind of what we'll cover for opening day's news and notes. A lot more to come, and we'll keep you guys updated every Tuesday and Thursday night on what's going on around the game. But now we switch bases, and we're going to get you ready for Fab for the week. We're going to talk about a few things, but I'll let Ryan explain this, because he's kind of the mastermind behind the what we got going on here.
Yeah, so I mean, we're just trying stuff out at this point. So let us know. I mean, we do this show for you guys. We want to make sure what we do is most useful for you in setting your lineups and your teams and whatnot. But the feedback we got this offseason and what we did last year was preview like this upcoming weekend's matchups, Friday through Sunday. And on one of our, I guess, New Year's resolution episodes or something, we kind of wondered if we should do the following week fab instead, just as a preview to kind of get your mind going for the following week in fab. And there was some pretty, I don't know, convincing feedback to do fab for the following week instead of weekend matchups. So that's where we're going with this year, taking a three-pronged approach to it. And again, let us know what works, what doesn't. We can easily tweak this stuff as we go. The first prong is we will look at the schedule for the upcoming week, mostly from the hitter perspective. So I've got, you know, of course, in Bloomboard's fashion, I've whipped up this little schedule tool thing that we'll look at here in just a minute for the YouTube crowd and in the live stream. Then we'll run through two-star pitchers for the following week, and then we will look at roster trends currently via CBS. So we'll look at who has been added the most like during this week, because that will most likely be guys who you are interested in Fab this coming Sunday. So that's kind of the general plan, I guess, for Thursday nights. Did I miss anything?
Nope, that's perfect. And the board or the schedule thing, Ryan, I've been talking off air. There's going to be a few more tweaks to that when we get more data coming up here. We have more locked in rotations and whatnot. So you're going to see that when we discuss it. But yeah, we're going to do that. Hit on two-star pitchers, like Ryan said. And then we'll hit on some of the top potential targets in your fab this week. We picked CBS for a couple reasons. It's most accessible, compared to some other sites. And it also kind of sums up more of the maybe 10 to 12 team basis that most people play. It's not NFBC centric. These players might be available in your NFBC leagues, of course, as well. This kind of gives a roundabout overall fantasy kind of scope of the fab for the weekend.
Yeah. And they do have a good report that just tells you, because I do think it's very valuable to see changes in who's being added. And CBS has a nice little report for that. And I know Yahoo does too, for like that current day, but CBS seemed like the best one, at least for now, to check out this week's most added guys compared to last week. And I don't know. Again, let us know. Let us know.
Well, I think the week to week is also important since we're doing Fab. Fab is usually more of a week to week process, not a daily process. So if people are curious of why, that is why, because we don't need Ryan to scrape Yahoo every single morning to make a total board at the end. It's kind of complicated. So
we can do it this way. Come on. My rate is pretty cheap for this.
It is actually work, so it is very cheap. I'll say that much. He's affordable, folks. But all right, let's check out the schedule. Let's see what you got. Let's show the people what I've been privy to see for a few days now, which I think is pretty darn awesome.
Drum roll. Let's see how it looks.
You got it zoomed already. You're good.
We'll zoom there. Look at that. Not perfect, but we'll go with it. We'll take the banner off, and I'll explain kind of what we're looking at for the YouTube and live stream crowd. I should probably, should probably post this the following day, just so everyone at least on Twitter who follows us can see this as well. But what we are looking at is a list of each team and their schedule for the upcoming week from Monday to Sunday. And so we've got we've got the team hitting strength. WRC plus is you don't even need to know what that means, basically, but 100 is league average, over 100 is great, less than 100 is bad. So we get the kind of general strength of each team's lineup. Most importantly, and of course, color coded, we've got the number of games for each team coming up next week with home and away. I will be adding versus lefty and righty once the probable pitcher stuff gets a little bit more fleshed out. I think that's just more of a kind of an early season, I don't want to say glitch, but once rotations start settling, I think this will fill out quite a bit more. But for each team, I've also got the their schedule. So their opposing teams that they're facing for this coming week, the opposing starters for as well as we know right now. Notice there are some TBDs because we are trying to project out, you know, 10 days in advance. But But we've got that, and then we have the opposing starting pitcher's strikeout minus walk rate. We talk about strikeout minus walk all the time as kind of like the ultimate pitching skill if you're going to look at one number to see how good a starting pitcher is. We've kind of taken that to the next level here by looking at the average strikeout minus walk of the opposing starting pitchers for that week, if that makes sense, for each team. So.
Yep. And as Ryan and I were talking about this before the show, it checks out because if you look at Arizona, they got the Yankees and the Braves. We know there's Cortez, Rodon, Fried, and Sale plus two TBDs, and that's an 18.2% K to rock. And it checks out,
which is not good if you're looking to stream Arizona hitters. I actually used this tool this past week, and Arizona had the most favorable schedule with facing the quartet of Rockies pitchers. And again, so far, so good, given that they've batted around twice in the same inning tonight. So
yeah, and if it wasn't clear already, which it was to me, is this schedule is based on finding your hitting streamers for the week, not your pitching streamers. You could probably flip it if you really want to. I just more to focus on the hitting side of it and see where it goes there. And that's why it's like Atlanta. Well, we know they're going to crush. They always do, but they get at the White Sox and then the Arizona Diamondbacks, which will be the back end of the Diamondbacks rotation of Henry, Fought, and a TBD. So exactly. That checks. And you have fourth, fifth starters for the White Sox. That checks out pretty good.
And that's where we can kind of add our quote unquote expert analysis here, is to say, yes, Crochet, there's two TBDs before Crochet for Atlanta, but we know that's the number four and number five for the White Sox. And then there's your boy Henry. And really, your boy Fott.
Boy Henry.
Tommy Henry. I don't know why he's your boy.
What is that? My boy.
And that all checks out to a really low strikeout minus walk against Atlanta next week. And that's why that sell is green. So
let's just have fun. It could potentially be Chris Flexen and Nick Nastrini.
Yeah.
Let's just put that into the ether for a second. That's rich, folks. That's rich.
Against Atlanta, which you're not adding Atlanta guys, so they're all rostered, but whatever.
Yeah, and Curlin's in the chat saying he had something exactly like this or similar to this last year, and he's using it again this year. So, yeah, this is a helpful tool, and we can kind of we can go a quick team-by-team run through if you want.
However you want to do it.
We got time, so let's kind of just go through this, because some, like, we joked. So Atlanta, great matchup. Your best case scenario, you can stream Adam Duvall because most guys are rostered, right?
That's where adding versus lefty versus righty will come into play a lot, because like an Adam Duvall is someone who I do have on a bunch of teams, but like in weeks where Atlanta faces a bunch of righties, it's probably not going to work out playing time wise for Adam Duvall. So
yeah, so that comes into play. And like Arizona on paper, that starter after Fott's probably Ryan Nelson. So you can kind of predict, looked in Atlanta. So you got, let's just say it's Nastrini and company. So you got, if it's Nastrini and whoever else, doesn't matter.
Crochet, I don't even know who Nastrini is, but I
you might get not three good. You might get three lefties to start the week potentially. Or no, because they only play three against the White Sox. So you get two out of three lefties there, and then you got Henry. So depending on when that off day is, you might get enough lefties. So Duvall could be streamable for the first half of the week, is what I'm trying to get at there. Oh. But yeah, otherwise, maybe Orlando Arcia if you're super, super deep, but really nothing to get excited about. Let's talk Baltimore. They got Kansas City and at Pittsburgh, Waka, TBD, Reagans, Jones, Falter, TBD. That's not a bad little stretch there, especially you see it back end of Pittsburgh and back end of KC with Reagans in the middle.
Yeah, you've got Reagans is really the only obstacle. Although, I don't know, Jared Jones might be. We don't know what to think of Jared Jones. He's someone, so I should have mentioned this at the top. This is all last year's strikeout minus walk rate, because I'm not going to use this year's because it doesn't exist. At some point, we will flip this over to 2024. So,
and as McGrouch said, Baltimore looked great today. Yes, a lot of teams will look good against Patrick Sandoval, but yes, Baltimore did look great. I'm not going to knock it too much. Santander hit one of his 40 home runs this year, which is great to see.
There you go.
Boston, they're on the road next week. You mentioned it earlier, the first 10 are on the road, but they get at Oakland, at the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, who we just talked about, Boyle, who walks the farm, Wood, who just got shelled. Stripling, who's going to get shelled on Friday. Canning, Detmers, and whoever, like probably Patrick Sandoval. So Boston might be one to look into. Just going to throw that one out there.
Yep. Even though they're on the road and at Oakland's tough from a ballpark standpoint, but that is certainly neutralized by Joe Boyle rules and Alex Wood and Ross Stripling.
Yeah, that is brutal. And it's like looking at the Angels projected by MLBplayingtime.com. That could be Tyler Anderson. So this is where it gets really fun, is if it is Anderson, then you have one, two, you get three lefties during the week. So, and the weekend would be two lefties. So now you start looking at Boston streamers possibly, but I don't think there's a ton out there. So
yeah,
speculate at will. The Chicago Cubs, they got Colorado and the Dodgers. So you want that front half of the week, don't you, Bloomfield?
You do. You want that front half. You want that color. Another kind of cool thing with the sheet is we can sort by KBB. So I just did that. And the Cubs have the lowest opposing strikeout minus walk rate. Granted, Yamamoto doesn't have a 2023 strikeout minus walk, so it's a little bit tainted, but yeah, you get those three Colorado pitchers and Gavin Stone, who I like Gavin Stone, but like, are we fully bought in on what he's going to do this year? So it's a nice schedule for the Cubs for sure.
Cubs have a great schedule. A lot of righties outside of Freeland, it looks like. So if you can find lefty Cubs again, but that's like the Cubs are all rostered for the most part. Maybe Mike Tauchman if you're in a deep, deep league, but not sure you need to get too crazy in that regard. Chicago White Sox, Atlanta, and then the Royals. I'll probably just be avoiding the White Sox.
Dude, so it's seven. The big thing, it's seven games. So the White Sox are one of two teams with seven games. Kansas City is the other. There are two teams with five games, which is huge. So volume is everything in weekly leagues. So Milwaukee and Minnesota are the two teams that get five games. The White Sox, really, it's only Strider. Outside of Strider, those seven games, it looks like Charlie Morton, Ronaldo Lopez, and Strider, but then Lugo, Brady Singer, your boy, Michael Wacha, and Alec Marsh, also your boy. That's bombs away. And like you can sit here and kind of laugh at the White Sox, but those are the teams, like a Yoán Moncada, he's going to play seven games.
Can you say that for the people in the back real quick?
Quiet you. Yoán Moncada is a guy who's going to play every day on the White Sox seven games next week against, outside of Strider, mediocre pitching. This is just an example of like, and this may seem like we're going through this with a fine-tooth comb, but like these are the types of pickups that I think you can make over the long haul of the season. Yes. That will pay off. So I'm targeting White Sox, as weird as that sounds, White Sox for next week.
Yeah, no, now that I looked at the back end, at least especially the Royals, so like I like Raylo enough to not scare me. Morton's literally Raylo and Morton are both like coin tosses. You wouldn't be shocked if they dealt, but you wouldn't be shocked if they walk enough guys and it's a bullpen game. So either story there. But yeah, that Royals the Royals at the end there, that's where it gets real fun. We saw their left-handed lineup on for the White Sox. We saw their left-handed lineup on Thursday, so we'll have to kind of see where they go. But, you know, Moncada would definitely be one you could add, like you said. Maybe Dominic Fletcher gets some playing time. You mentioned how he was batting ninth. Hey, he actually has a good hit tool. I don't know if there's a ton of power there, but he can hit for average. He was like, it was surprising when he got sent back down with the D-backs a few years ago. Nicky Lopez, we've seen him have his moments. So like
Paul DeJong, everyday shortstop.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so there's options for sure when it comes to Chicago. If you're going to try to tout Chicago, I'm going to start naming names. So we're going to see how excited you really are when we get here.
As I list Paul DeJong and Nicky Lopez and Dominic Fletcher, I start to crawl back into my shell.
But if you're in a 15-team league or something, those guys could come into play for sure. Yes. That's a big, big difference. Yes. Cincinnati Reds, they play 3 in Philly, good hitters ballpark, and then they're back home against the Mets. And, you know, Severino's got long ball tendencies. Manaea's Manaea. McGill, like, it's a home series against those three, which – and then he's got Christopher Sanchez to start the week. So, I don't know. It doesn't feel warm and fuzzy with Cincy, but there will be free agents to discuss. We'll probably have them to discuss on the next round of, like, Benson's of the world and stuff. But what's your thoughts on Cincy?
Yeah, this is where it comes in handy to have the left-right, because Cincinnati has so many platoons out there. decent schedule. Wheeler be damned, and I guess Christopher Sanchez. But outside of that, dude, Spencer Turnbull's pitching for Philadelphia. Like, God.
They get five righties this week, and then Manaea.
Yep, and then Manaea. And that Severino, McGill, Manaea at home could be pretty sweet for the Reds.
Yeah, because Benson, if he wasn't at it, like he was popular, but I know he's still out there, and at least 10s and 12s for sure. He hits, I believe it was second on Thursday. If he hits second, that's tremendous. Fraley had a big game. Martini, he hit his two home runs. If he's going to keep DHing against righties, like there's going to be viability to stream. Let's put it that way. Cleveland, who put up 8 on the A's on Thursday, got at Seattle, at Minnesota.
Dude.
It's a tough-looking rotations they got to face. This might be a pass for me, dog.
And I'm glad. So this is why that, you know, for Cleveland, that 19 that I'm highlighting is red. That's the combined strikeout minus walk of the pitchers that Cleveland is facing this week. 19% is tough from a hitter standpoint. And it's the two rotations we've been touting all year. Or all draft season, I should say, Seattle and Minnesota. So, like, on the Seattle side, Cleveland's not getting Gilbert and Bryce Miller, but they're getting Castillo and Kirby, and then, yeah, Pablo Lopez, Joe Ryan, Bailey Ober. You're never benching a Jose Ramirez. We don't want to put too much emphasis on the schedule, but, like, Ramon Laureano, who was probably starting some 15 teamers at Oakland this week. You're not doing that. Any fringe Cleveland bat is a tough start.
Like
you'll Seattle and Minnesota. Yeah.
You'll still start your Naylors, both of them. You'll still start Jimenez. You'll start J-Ram, but you're not looking to add any Cleveland Guardians this week. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Colorado, they play at Chicago and then home against Tampa Bay. Could be an interesting rotation spot here because you might have some Assad, you might have Wesneski in the back end in Chicago, and then Tampa Bay is always up in the air in their scenarios. So Colorado, as much as we make fun of them, they could have some streaming upside in this game at some point.
Especially because Steele is listed, but he's not making that start given the injury that we saw. So, yeah, it's like an Imaniga,
yep.
Assad, Wesneski, and then Colorado's finally at home. Mm-hmm. Against Tampa. So even though they're TBD, that's a core series the following weekend. So Colorado, despite how bad they are, sneaky adds on the hitter side for this coming week.
Yeah, I just see how their lineup strike out this weekend. Is it going to be Jake Cave getting some playing time?
Is it
Michael Tuglia? Again, these are strictly streamers. Like, these are guys you add and you drop. There's nothing, you don't have to fall in love with them. You just need them to come and do a couple things for a few days. That's all this is for. This is nothing more than that. Detroit Tigers at the Mets, home against Oakland. That actually looks like a pretty nice set of pitchers if you can find some Detroit Tigers to stream. This is a nice week you might have.
Agreed. And the Oakland series is at home. So, I mean, I guess Detroit isn't the best ballpark, but it's better than Oakland. But yeah, Manaea, Hauser, Quintana, Sears, Blackburn, Boyle. That's pretty advantageous for any Tigers you have.
Yep, a lot of right-handed pitchers in that scenario. So I don't know who they'll have available on the waiver wire, but maybe a Colt Keith if you're in a shallower league. He's out there for you. But I'd imagine your Carpenters, your Greens, your Meadows are all pretty much taken. So kind of bob and weave around that one. You got the Houston Astros, Toronto, and Texas. This is a tricky one because a lot of TBD here, but there are some nice pitchers. Like, we might get Gossman this week. Who knows what Texas is doing right now?
Yeah, that's what that TBD is at the top. We don't know if Gossman will pitch Sunday or Monday. If Gossman pitches Monday, it is against Houston, which if you're a Gossman stan like you, Bubba, you're throwing it because you're getting two Gossman starts. But to go limited pitch count against Houston for Gossman's tough. But I don't know. You're getting – yeah, so after Gossman, like Toronto's – there's not much there. It's Berríos and Bassett. Like, they're fine. But the back half, I think, is pretty sweet. It looks like, even though it's TBD, it looks like it'll be Bradford, John Gray, Dane Dunning. Like.
Yeah, the one to look at is Myers. Myers got the start and went deep. He hit 9th for Houston on Thursday. If he plays most of the weekend, that's probably one of your few streamers that will be available for Houston. Kansas City, the second team, with 7 games this week, like you mentioned, at Baltimore, home against the White Sox. Burns is in the mix, but you get the back end of Baltimore, and then you get Chicago.
Dude, so, yes. And this is – and it's 7 games.
Yep.
And I think just as much as, like, matchup quality, matchup difficulty is number of games, is I think the column you want to look at more than anything. And so the 7 for Kansas City, and then, yeah, on top of that, a single-digit strikeout minus walk rate for all of the pitchers that they're facing next week is fantastic. And that includes Corbin Burns. There is nobody outside of Corbin Burns. This is 6 really sweet games for Kansas City. And it looks like all but one are right-handers. So any lefties on Kansas City, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, Kyle Isbell's, Adam Frazier's, those are probably the only ones that are available, I'd imagine. Otherwise, they're a very, very heavy right-handed lineup. Very heavy right-handed lineup. You got your Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim at Miami for 3, at home versus Boston for 3. I don't see a ton to love here. Like, the pitchers aren't lights out, but they're pretty good.
Yeah, and I mean, let's get Rengifo some playing time, people. Come on.
Yes. Well, he does get 3 lefties to start the week.
He should be playing against righties too. They can't throw Aaron Hicks out there second.
Well, they can't. And Rendon leading off, so no hitting cleanup. Like, let's get real here, Ron Washington. Lay off the cocaine. Come on, buddy. Dodgers, they get the Giants for 3 at home, and then go to Wrigley Field. It's the Dodgers, so do what you want to do. But it's actually, I don't know. The Giants part is decent pitching. The Cubs part, not so much.
Yeah, it looks like it's a pretty even split. So, like, all the good Dodgers are owned. It's just like, for the Dodgers, you want to see if there's a platoon advantage or not. And it looks like a pretty even split between lefty-righty, which you don't want. Like, if you're going to be streaming Dodgers, like your Outman or Hayward or Chris Taylor, whatever, you want weeks where it is heavy left or right. And it looks like it's pretty much split down the middle.
Yeah, the weekend, it looks like they'll have 2 lefties in Chicago. So if you are NFB-centric, you're Chris Taylor's of the world. If you're in deep, deep, Miguel Rojas potentially. Not in love with him, but he'll play. He's going to start versus lefties. So that has been established already. As we slide on down the list here, we got the Miami Marlins, you got the Angels, and then at St. Louis. I'm not scared of St. Louis for sure. And we've talked about the Angels. So,
God. And yeah, Sandoval being one of those Angels. That's a pretty sweet schedule for the Marlins.
Yep. Stack away with the Marlins. They got Milwaukee. They got Minnesota and Seattle this week. Again, Seattle is going to be tough every time they're on the docket. And Minnesota shouldn't be too much of a cakewalk either.
Yeah, it's the blessing. So this is actually the flip side of two teams get. So Cleveland gets at Seattle, at Minnesota, Milwaukee gets those same two teams at home. Flipped next week, and it's a very tough schedule and only 5 games. Milwaukee streamers next week, that's tough. It is the back half of Minnesota's rotation. I think that's why those are TBD on the sheet, but it's probably Chris Paddock and Louis Varlin. But then you get Logan Gilbert, Bryce Miller, and
Emerson Hancock,
which, you know, whatever, but that's a tough schedule and only 5 games. If you have any fringe Brewers, it's a tough week to roll with those guys.
Minnesota's got 5 games as well. 2 at Milwaukee, 3 at home versus Cleveland. It's just the size of the week alone pretty much gets you off of them.
Yeah.
Given Milwaukee's pitching's bad, but you don't want to play that game.
Yeah. It's going to be a little bit of a, shift of mindset, I think, for both of us to think Milwaukee pitching staff and like get scared of it. But Milwaukee's pitching staff outside of Freddie Peralta this year is really bad without Corbin Burns and without Brandon Woodruff. So that said, yeah, the 5 games for Minnesota is tough, especially the Monday to Thursday lineup period. You're only getting those 2 games. So you're probably looking elsewhere. Again, like your Minnesota studs, which was Royce Lewis.
Yes. Castro and Farmer, folks. Castro and Farmer, just for the future weeks, maybe.
Even though we hype those guys up, like it is tough to start a Willie Castro, Kyle Farmer, next week, at least in the first half of the week with two off days.
Yep, for sure. New York Mets, 3 at home versus Detroit, 3 in Great American Small Park. Hunter Green, Nick Martinez, Andrew Abbott. So I like the sounds of that, the Detroit side of it. You got Casey Mize will probably be one of those last pitchers to go with Skubal. So that's a tough start to the week, but a good finish for the Mets.
Yes, it's more of a start them on the weekend if you can at Small Park and try and avoid Skubal. Skubal does look very pretty good. Damn good.
Very good.
While he's healthy and while he's going.
Yeah, they get a 24% swinging strike rate. That's pretty, pretty good. Yankees, 6 games, 3 at Arizona, 3 at home versus Toronto. One of those should hopefully be Kevin Gausman. You get Gallen early in the week. Overall, and Kelly, I respect. You got Kikuchi, do what you wish with that. So it's not like a great, great matchup, but it's kind of a 50-50, it feels like.
Yeah, I feel just kind of average for the Yankees. You do have the Gallen and probably Gausman and Merrill Kelly, but then you've got some you've got Ryan Nelson.
Yep, Ryan Nelson.
And Bowden. Is it Bowden Francis? Bowden Francis?
I call him Bowden Francis. I could be wrong, but yeah.
I think I picked him up in
I got him in tout.
Oh, you got him in tout?
I got him in tout.
Jesus.
This guy.
Never good to be adding guys who, admit it, 2 weeks ago you didn't know who that dude was.
No, but when you are in a 15-team league and you have 5 IL guys you need to put on your roster, you guys start fishing. So that's where we were at in that one, Ryan. Thanks for bringing it up on the show. Back to the schedule at hand for next week. The Oakland Athletics, just going to pass on this one, I guess, but Boston and Detroit, 6 games total.
Yeah.
Lewis Butler is what everyone's talking about, if you're curious.
Okay.
JJ Bleday had a good spring. He had two hits on Thursday, but I'm not overly excited. But again, similar we talked about with some other bad teams, these are where your cheap streamers can come from. I just don't think it's a great Boston and at Detroit. It's not
exactly. It's tough parks and it's mildly tough matchups for Oakland. Yeah. So you're only really starting Oakland, streaming Oakland hitters, 7 games on the road, which probably happens a couple times a year.
Yep. Very tricky. Philadelphia gets 3 at home versus Cincinnati and then 3 at the Nats. And that Nats series.
Oh,
man, that's 3 lefties for 1. 3 lefties for 1 to top it off. So they get 4 lefties out of 6 games for the week. And then, Abbott, Ashcraft, Corbin, Irvin. I'll give Montas and Gore the benefit of the doubt. That's a pretty nice setup.
Yeah, that's a gold mine. Big week ahead for Philly. But I don't know. I mean, streaming wise.
Yeah, I'm pulling
Brandon Marsh.
No, because you want right-handed hitters.
Yeah, never mind. Yep.
Yeah, Whit Merrifield's playing. Maybe Johan Rojas. That'd be your guy to look at. He's got the speed. Take advantage of Johan Rojas for the week if you can. That'd be my 2 cents. Pittsburgh Pirates, 3 at Washington, 3 at home versus Baltimore. That's a tough stretch for them.
Yes. Yes, it is. Especially Baltimore. Well, yeah, just overall. I mean, I don't know. At Washington's not too bad, but I don't know. It's just kind of average.
Yeah. We got San Diego Padres, 3 at home versus St. Louis, 3 at the Giants. Again, the St. Louis pitching does not scare me at all. When it comes to the Giants, it's, Hicks and then kind of see where it goes from there. So, Keaton Wynn, I believe, will get a start, who I like, but I'm not terrified of. So, it could be a decent week for San Diego if you can find a few streamers.
How many innings your boy Hicks going to go?
He went 5 the other night.
With 10 Ks, didn't he?
Yes. You remember, yes. He'll be fine. He'll be fine.
That's all I have for San Diego.
Yeah, not scared over here. San Francisco, Dodgers, at the Dodgers, home versus the Padres. Yeah, you can probably move. Well, yeah, I just say move on from the Giants on that one.
Yes, it's the TBD there is probably Paxton, which is doable. But yeah, Glasnow, Bobby Miller, Cease, Michael King. It's a brutal week for your boys, man.
Yep, Seattle Mariners, 3 at home versus Cleveland, 3 at Milwaukee. You got Bieber, who looked great on Thursday in the mix. You got Peralta outside of that, if you trust McKenzie. But it's probably 3 to 3.5 good options for Seattle, but probably not a lot to get excited about.
Agreed. And it's just another example of that Milwaukee rotation outside of, and maybe DL Hall will be good. I don't know. Rough I don't want to spring. Write the book on him rough yet, spring. But I'm pessimistic. Oh,
and that DL Hall, I believe, is going to be coming off of that list because he has a bone spur in his elbow. So he'll be that'll be a TBD pretty soon as well.
When did that happen?
Well, if you read my Substack on Thursday morning, that was actually reported in the Substack. So
DL Hall has a bone spur?
Yeah, let me double check my Substack here. Now you're making me second guess myself here.
I mean, but, I don't know. I was out and about today.
Yeah, you were just living the dream. But that's Robert Gasser. I'm an idiot. That's why I wanted to double check. DL Hall will start that game. You are correct, Ryan Bloomfield.
Boom. Yeah, so, it was Gasser. It was Gasser.
Yeah, it was Gasser. St. Louis, 3 at San Diego, 3 versus Miami. This could be fun, especially if you like facing left-handed hitters later in the week.
Yep, agreed. I like that. I like that a lot because I don't think like Joe Musgrove does not look good right now. And I think this kind of rating that we're looking at on the screen is based on last year. And I don't think Joe Musgrove is as good now as he was last year. So outside of Yu Darvish, who looked pretty good today, that's a great schedule for St. Louis.
If you're looking for some guys versus left-handed pitching, if Victor Scott's still out there, obviously that's an option. But Mason Wynn is probably available if you need some middle infield help.
Victor Scott stole the base today.
Yes, he did. Tampa Bay, real quick on this one. We got 3 Texas, 3 at Colorado. So you got the Colorado series plus the back end of the Texas rotation. Time to load up on some Tampa Bay Rays. They have one of the best matchup ratings on the week, it looks like.
Yeah. I mean, you get the Coors. The Coors alone. The Coors, Gomber, Feltner, Dakota Hudson, like, are you kidding me? But even the first half of that week was some TBDs there, but it looks like probably Dunning, Andrew Heaney, then Eovaldi. Bombs away for Tampa.
Yep, for sure. Texas, 3 at Tampa, 3 at home versus Houston. That's a rough go potentially for Texas.
Agreed.
Toronto at Houston at the Yankees again. Yankees don't terrify me that much, but the beginning of the week is not great.
Yeah, the at Houston part of that is tougher. Although it is, I don't know who their TBD is. Like it could be like Ronel Blanco. And Framber Valdez got
smacked around a little
bit. He gave up a ton of walks today. It was not good, Framber. And then who knows with Christian Javier. So not bad for Toronto. And then you love any Toronto lefty in Yankee Stadium the back half of that week, especially against like a Stroman, Clark Schmidt, Luis Gil. That Yankee rotation in general is tough right now without Cole.
And if you're looking for like Gavin Biggio went deep on Thursday, which would make fun of him. And so he could be live in that scenario. If you're super deep, Kevin Kiermaier is always out there, but Biggio would be the one I'd probably be looking at in that scenario. And last but not least, the Nats, 3, they get all 6 at home, Pittsburgh and Philly. Still not thinking it's outstanding, but I guess if you're real desperate, let's put it that way.
Yeah, the back half is Nola, Ranger Suarez, Christopher Sanchez, it looks like. Front half's a little bit better, but I don't know, man. Washington, it's tough. It's going to be a long season.
All right, there's your schedule preview. Again, we'll keep fine-tuning that as more information comes out and have some fun with that. Let's flip the switch here, Bloom, and let's talk to start pitchers. And basically, if it's a guy that's heavily rostered, we're just going to move on. But I'll just highlight, like, D-backs, Ryne Nelson, Yankees at Atlanta.
No. Okay. Do not. Please do not do this. If you listen to this show, if you take one piece of advice from tonight's episode, do not roster Ryne Nelson for this week.
Yes, please. Don't do it. There's not all two steps are good two steps. Just remember that. For the Braves, now if you're in a shallower league, which a lot of listeners are, you get Charlie Morton at the White Sox versus Arizona. There is a world where Charlie Morton might be available in your league.
Yep. And excellent source of strikeouts. And with Charlie Morton, the math is, you know, how many innings this season, but we have to switch out. That's a draft season mentality. This is 26 weekly seasons we are playing right now in weekly leagues. And while Charlie Morton's healthy and throwing, 2 Charlie Morton starts is awesome.
We are living in the now, not the whole season anymore. So, take this. Right now, pretty much these episodes are more about streaming, not worried about months from now. This is about this week alone. So Baltimore, another good one. Dean Kramer at home versus Kansas City at the Pittsburgh Pirates. That's a pretty solid two-step.
It is. It is. Though I'm not super high on Dean Kremer himself, but like you take those matchups. Like that, that is a streamer that I am willing to sacrifice some like mediocre skills against those two lineups.
You'd have to imagine, and again, you're purely speculating, but that's probably at least one win. And let's just say I'll give him 8 to 9 strikeouts. So that adds up in a hurry. Boston, if again, shallower league, Tanner Houck at Oakland, at the Angels, you cannot ask for a whole lot more. It's given beautiful. Houck's got in the past whip issues that might not let him go deep enough in the game, but on paper, pretty sweet.
Yep, agreed.
Amoniga is taken everywhere. Andrew Abbott at Philly and Great American Small Park.
I don't like Andrew Abbott.
No, I'm passing.
Like at all. The second half slide, like a 15% strikeout minus walk, didn't miss many bats, a ton of fly balls. Like that's playing with fire against at a decent Philadelphia lineup, and then Andrew Abbott at home. I don't really care who it's against. That scares me, given the fly ball tendencies.
Yeah, I'm just going to pass on that one to very, very home run heavy ballparks. Tristan McKenzie's probably rostered everywhere. We're just going to skip over Colorado. The White Sox, you got Chris.
We can just remove Colorado from existence.
We're going to skip the White. We're going to skip the White Sox too because it's Atlanta.
I mean, I don't even know who Nestrini is.
Yeah, we're gonna pass over that one real quick.
It's Nick, do not Nestream me.
No, you pulled
his name. Thank
you.
Clip it. Worked on that all week.
Clip it. Detroit Tigers, though, we have one here. Reese Olson at the Mets versus the Oakland Athletics. This is another one similar to the Dean Kremer ilk, maybe a little better.
Yeah, and Olson, I'm sure, is rostered in 15-teamers, but probably available in a lot of 12s. Exciting talent. Not the highest ceiling, but two starts at the Mets, and anything against Oakland is awesome. So and I think in 12-teamers, again, I'm not sure how much he's rostered in 12 teamers, but definitely look at Reese Olson if he's available. That's a two-step you want to go for.
Yep. And you kind of hinted at it earlier with the Astros. Blanco appears to be for now the guy that's two-stepping versus Toronto and at Texas. Blanco was once a more popular prospect, potentially had a decent spring. Not sure I'm ready to pull that trigger just yet.
Agreed. I'm holding off there.
Now this is where it gets interesting. So Kansas City, you got Waka and Marsh. They start the week at Baltimore, but they finish the week against the White Sox. Do you roll the dice?
I mean, I'll let you talk about Marsh. You know him better than I. Waka, like, I'm just waiting for the wheels to fall off, but he has, I mean, the results have mostly been there the last couple of years. So I'm kind of holding my nose and doing it with Waka, but I don't know. I'm not that confident in it. I'm more curious in Marsh, what you think, because he was one of your
most roster
top player shares guys in a two-step. So I'm assuming you're throwing him.
Yes, I'll be throwing him. There's more strikeout upside, I believe, with Marsh than Walker, at least in my opinion. Again, could be wrong. But, the White Sox start alone is more appetizing than one can imagine. And it's more like the Baltimore one. It's the old, can you throw me 5 innings and just like give up 3 runs or less and survive? I think he's more talented than Michael Waka, obviously not setting the bar very high in that scenario, but I'll take the chance in these scenarios. I don't mind. Both of them are serviceable. Just know that Baltimore start, that's going to be a fierce offense all season long. So kind of you're praying they survive the start of the week to get the White Sox start in the end. That's what you're praying for.
Yeah, you're trying to survive start one to get to start two.
I'd imagine Reed Detmers is rostered most places, but if he's not, he's got at Miami and against Boston, but imagine he's rostered. Dodgers, now this player might, he should be, but James Paxton gets the Giants and at the Cubs.
Similar to like the Charlie Morton comment, I think while Paxton is healthy, I think you go with him. I don't think this is the James Paxton of Seattle lore. This is not the same guy that was many moons ago, but I think James Paxton, and again, with streaming, like you're looking for wins, and LA just looks like an absolute juggernaut. I mean, it looks like the first starts against Keaton Wynn and then the last one against Amoniga. So like you're probably throwing Paxton in. Like, it's maybe 50. You know, 12 is better than me, but it's a definite in 15s.
In 12s, I would.
You would. That,
just because the Giants are much better than they were before, but Paxton just got strikeout upside. And that's what I would roll with because, you know, Soler, he's an upgrade, but he strikes out a ton. Chapman can strike out his fair share. He's better than most, but he can strike out. Like, the upgrades they made still lead to a lot of strikeouts, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I think Paxton's worth it in that regard. And the wins alone, like, as long as he can get you five innings, because, like, Paxton will face Keaton Wynn, who I think is good, but the Dodgers are the Dodgers. And then Paxton faces a Monago on that Sunday. It's a little tougher, but he should be, like they say with Kramer, there should be at least one win in the bag for him somewhere. So, yep. Miami, you got Max Meyer making his debut. He gets the Angels at home and then at the Cardinals. I think this is one you got to roll with.
I do wonder, like, how far into games Max Meyer will go.
That's the big problem. That is true.
You know, like, Miami babies are starters. And, I mean, we saw that with Yuri Perez last year. And Max Meyer, of course, has some pretty notable injury history. So we don't really know how Miami's going to treat Max Meyer. But I think in most formats you're going with him. I think the ceiling there is pretty sweet, especially that first start against the Angels.
Yep, agreed. Right now they got Milwaukee with Junis getting a two-step. I don't believe it, but I guess they're so short on pitchers they might need to. And he'll be on regular rest because of the days off they have. Would you do it if he does Minnesota and Seattle?
I don't know. I take a rain check for now. I'm curious to see, like, will Junis be handled like he was on the Giants?
Yeah.
Where it's like a three or four inning Junis or a five inning Junis. I think Junis is actually, like, I don't think you really like him that much. I think I'm higher than you on Junis, but
I was streaming him a lot last year until they stopped using him appropriately.
Yeah, I just want to see how Milwaukee uses Junis first. But then again, you know, in Fab, a lot of times you have to be quick and you have to make some speculations, assumptions. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I probably wouldn't throw it. But in 15 teamers, I could see it, I guess, if he even makes it two starts.
Yeah. Twins don't have a two start. The Mets, Manaea versus the Tigers at Cincinnati. Like, I love that Tigers start. Cincinnati's very difficult, but Manaea will be available in a lot of 12 team and shallower leagues.
I mean, really, it depends on Manaea's hair length.
Yeah.
So, you know, going back to Bubba's Bible stories with the Book of Samson?
The Book of
Samson. Whatever you call it, whatever it is. The story of Samson?
The story of Samson. Yes, the story of Samson. So there's books in the Bible. Samson is not a book of the Bible. This was in the Old Testament.
Is he older? I was going to ask. Older,
New Testament. It's Old Testament. I got you. It's in the good Lord.
So it depends on when Manaea's last haircut was. But in all seriousness, that's tough, man, because the Detroit first start is awesome. At Small Park is very much not. So.
But Small Park, there's a lot of strikeouts in that Reds lineup.
Yeah.
So it comes back to, can he just, like, survive there and then take care of the Detroit start? So I think I'm pitching Manaea where I have him.
I am in 15s.
15s for sure, yeah.
Yeah, that's what we'll try and do, I think, on this show, just because I don't play 12s. I don't want to say mostly play 12s, but in the past you have, and I'm more in the 15s. So we'll try and go about it both ways there.
For sure. Yankees, Luis Eel at Arizona versus Toronto. He's picked up a lot of places. If he's available, I would play him.
Yeah, by you and Tout.
Yep.
What'd you get him for? 46.
40, there you go. Yeah, my favorite, 46, 48, something like that.
Got the on-roto report locked and loaded. So you're throwing it. You're throwing him in Tout.
Yep, definitely. Throwing him in 15s for sure, and I'm throwing him in 12s also.
Okay.
Oakland, you got Joe Boyle, who can't throw a strike anymore. He gets Boston and at Detroit. There's a Detroit start again.
Yeah, but can't throw a strike and probably can't get a win. Yep. I'm not doing this.
Christopher Sanchez is rostered everywhere. Pittsburgh Pirates, Marco Gonzalez at Washington versus Baltimore.
That's tricky. I lean no, because the strikeout ceiling is so low. Like, you might only get five strikeouts or six strikeouts from Marco and two starts, and the Baltimore start next Sunday could be you want to avoid those disasters, and that has disaster written all over it.
Yep, I'll be out on that one. That's for sure. Waldron of San Diego gets St. Louis and at the Giants. That's going to be a fun one because there's a group of people that are hyped on Waldron. The matchups are decent. So I could see maybe throwing a few shekels at Waldron.
Yeah, more wait and see. Like if you have him, see how he does. I would not throw him. Like, so the Waldron forecaster quote ends with, or the forecaster box ends with, he'll likely struggle to stick in the majors. Like he just doesn't miss many bats.
That's fair.
I'm not doing it.
All right. As we move along here, Seattle's Emerson Hancock, Cleveland at Milwaukee. I'm just out on Hancock. You keep saying wait and see. I'm 100% waiting and seeing on this one.
Yep. Agreed. I can't do that.
Giants get Keaton Wynn, Dodgers at the Dodgers, home versus San Diego. I do like Keaton Wynn this year, but I'm not pitching him in those matchups.
No, you can't. You can't do at LA. That's brutal. Side note, Blake Snell is at least penciled in on the RotoWire grid here. Yep. For next Sunday, which would
that
be
is the plan.
That's
why they moved. Wynn was initially the fourth pitcher in the rotation, but now they move things around. He's going to be the fifth. I think they have Mason Black or something Black. Sorry, I think it's Mason Black. Kind of doing a spot start on Sunday, moving Wynn back, which then sets the rotation for Snell to pitch on the next Sunday. That's kind of that's their plan right now because Wynn was initially the fourth starter, and then all this happened. All right, St. Louis, you got Gibson going at San Diego versus Miami. That is a stream, folks.
Yeah, it is. I think you hold your nose. This is what Kyle Gibson lives for.
This is where Kyle Gibson gets rostered on teams. Is matchups like San Diego's a good team, but not a great offensive team in my mind. Yeah. People might get mad, and then it's the Marlins, who I think they're better than in the past, but it's still the Marlins. So, yeah, you pitch Kyle. And it's Sunday. Could be a getaway day, those kind of things. Like, yeah, you pitch Kyle Gibson.
Yeah.
Rays, you got Ryan Pepiot. He should be rostered everywhere.
Yep.
Texas, Dane Dunning at Tampa versus Houston. I'm probably going to pass.
Nope. I'm also passing. That's tough.
Gossman, I already said I'm pitching him. I think you said you would.
Yes, of course. Yeah. If you have Gossman, you're going.
Yeah. And then Washington, you got Mackenzie Gore versus Pittsburgh versus Philly. And they're both at home, so I'm pitching them.
Yeah, I'm going Mackenzie Gore. I mean, it's all about the walks with Gore, but there's some serious strikeout potential there. The Pittsburgh start is awesome. Philly start, not so much, but that's not bad. That's not bad at all for Mackenzie Gore.
All right, let's switch on over. CBS, most added players for the week, and we'll kind of run through a handful of these to get you an idea of players to target this weekend. The most added player over the last week. I'll let you have the floor because you added him for a lot of money. Kevin Ginkle.
I did not. I tried.
Oh, you tried to. My bad. I thought you did.
So in Tout Wars, where I've been just nuked with pitching injuries, I put a bid in for Kevin Ginkle.
Hate to see it.
At what the hell did I put him
140
in?
140-something.
I just make up a number. No, 164. So I've been 164 on Kevin Ginkle. I think he has the job. Even though Arizona was hesitant to use Ginkle in the closer role for a lot of last season, they messed around with McGuff, whatever the hell his name is, before finally trading for Seawald. But I do think Ginkle is the guy. And skills-wise, Ginkle is awesome. And it sounds like Seawald is out 6 weeks to 3 months. Grade 2 oblique is... There's a wide range of outcomes there, but it's going to be a long time. So, yeah, I put in a very hefty bid for Kevin Ginkle, and I did not get him. Tim McLeod got Kevin Ginkle. I was the backup at 164. Tim McLeod got Kevin Ginkle for 183. So, again, every league is different, but if Tout Wars is an indication, again, that's a 15-teamer, you're going to have to go triple digits to get Kevin Ginkle. And given what I bid, I think it was worth the run.
Yep, I think you're right. The D-backs did announce, like you said, he's the dude for now. He won't have a chance to do it on Thursday because of the mercy rule, but yes. Luis Eel, we already talked about him. He's going to be very popular. Like, he was already popular this last weekend. If he hasn't been added yet, he will get added this weekend. So if he's available for you, like I said, I'm putting him in the two start next week. I think he's very serviceable. The biggest question I have is he threw four total innings last year. He's been battling injuries. So I think he's just there to pitch until Gerrit Cole comes back, in my opinion, which Cole got put on the 60-day IL on Thursday. So the earliest he comes back is like middle of May. So late.
And we all know by that point, someone else will get hurt. Like if he'll pitch as well, he's going to stay in the rotation. It's just how pitchers go. So
100% agree. Jared Triolo. Now this is a fun name. This is where I think the show will be fun to pick up names like this. Yeah. He made the Pirates roster and he took Leiva Peguero's spot, who I talked about a lot in the preseason. So that's kind of a bummer. Peguero will get his chance eventually, but I want to mention Triolo here. He has third base eligibility on most platforms. He's going to play second base a lot for the Pirates right now. And he brought a good hit tool last year, 298, three homers, six steals in 54 games. He's hit for average throughout the minors, a little bit of pop, but a ton of speed. So Triolo is a dude that is going to get you that corner middle that we talk about all the time, Ryan. And he's going to play pretty much every day. I think this is a guy, especially in 15s, definite add. There is going to be some 12-team team that he's going to fit in pretty nicely.
Yeah, you covered it well, and you backed that up in tout. You got Triolo for, I think, 40-something bucks. So, agreed. At some point, that third base – because I think he's third base eligible right now in most formats.
Yep.
But at some point, that middle corner combo. If Triolo can stay in the lineup, and I don't see why not, unless he slumps or whatever. But this is an okay player on a bad team who's going to get playing time. And like you said, the stolen base ceiling for Triolo at a position where you might need it, third base is pretty sweet.
Your boy Jack Flaherty has been very popular this week. He's up to 74% on CBS, which seems a lot better. If he's available, would you add him, Ryan?
You can answer that for me. Come on.
Tyler Wells, everybody. Baltimore Orioles. This is a guy I've been on. We'll see how he pitches this weekend, but I think he's definitely a guy you're going to want to roster. He feels like one of those roster streamers we talk about a lot.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And led Major League Baseball in WHIP for quite a good portion of last season. Tyler Wells' start next week is at Pittsburgh on Saturday, April 6th. So that even bolsters the case for Tyler Wells.
Jared Jones, he'll be popular. I don't think we have a lot to say on that. It's just simple stuff. I'm going to mention Garrett Crochet here. He had the start today. It looked really, really good. After what you saw today, would he interest you more going forward, or is it still the White Sox? You mentioned a few times lack of win potential. Does that keep you off of Crochet, or are you looking to maybe take some upside there?
Probably this is one where I think we're going to overreact to one good start against the Tigers. Crochet's track record is not really there. And I know we're playing this for like streaming in the next few weeks. This is a converted reliever. I just don't know how long he can go. So I'm probably lower on Crochet than the market.
Victor Scott is obviously one everybody wants to add. That's going to be the big spenders this week.
It's just the question is how high we talked about this on the last show. It's like I remember making the comment just exponentially with every stolen base, that fat price is going to go up. How high do you want to go? It's going to be higher than I want. I just feel like you're going to end up spending over $200 on somebody who could definitely make a major impact in stolen bases. Don't get me wrong, but I don't like going. Not, I don't want to say all in, but putting that much of your fab chips in on one player this early in the season.
Most of the other guys on the list, it's like pitchers that are like JP France got into the rotation. Griffin Canning, people are starting to notice things there. Casey Mize, Soroka, Puck, Montas, Lytle, Whitlock. I could keep going if you'd like. Is there anybody that you see here that you like to discuss? Again, this will start fine-tuning as the season goes on more, but it's a lot of stuff people might have drafted early or shallower leagues and whatnot, and they're starting to kind of put more together here.
Jimmy Garcia is someone who is like 15% rostered in CBS. We don't know how the Toronto bullpen will shake out with Romano out. We also don't know how long Romano will be out, but I think Jimmy Garcia for Toronto is a decent, at least a short-term kind of spec add. Adam Duvall was one who got added. His ownership went from 12 to 24% in CBS league, so he's available. But as we kind of talked about, like I just don't see Duvall getting much playing time against right-handed pitching right now. So I'm trying to find any other bats. Jackson Merrill, but he's up to 80% rostered. Now. He was already fabbed. God, Ronel Blanco went up from 4% to 12%. Do not advise. Do not do it.
Yep, he's a small, but yeah, most of these guys, it's just like filling in rosters. There's nothing. It's a lot of pitchers. A lot of pitchers. Like Rafael is up to 50%. If he's out there in your league, please add him immediately. Like that should not be someone sitting in your waiver wires. So I'll say that much. So yeah,
Mitch Haniger is up from 18% to 25%. Homer tonight. This is a total gut call, and this is not kind of typically what I do. But I know you, Bubba, have been burned by Mitch Haniger with that San Francisco stint. He's back in Seattle where he's comfortable and he loves playing. Like, I think Mitch Haniger as a fifth outfielder, if you're looking to add someone there, I think Mitch Haniger is a good add. This is somebody who not too long ago was, I think it was 20, excuse me, I think it was 2021 where Mitch Haniger just went off. That was not that long ago. And again, only rostered in 25% of CBS leagues.
Did he play with the Giants long enough to actually call it a stint?
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Yeah, stint might stint's doing a lot of work in that sentence.
Yeah. A guy I will mention this down here also is only rostered in 34% of leagues is Jordan Westberg.
Started today.
Went 1-for-3 today. He's going to be second base, third base eligible in a lot of leagues. There's your corner infield, middle infield. So a lot of the things I liked about Triolo, Westberg might not have as much speed and maybe a little hit in average, but might have more pop. I think Westberg, if he were to play the whole season, which is a big if, but again, we're playing for the now. Westberg has like a 15-15 type upside, I think, and in a really, really good offense. So he'd be a guy I'd look at as well.
John Birdie is up from 7% to 11%. Just got, I don't know, was that a trade to New York?
Traded to the Yankees.
Okay. You may have a better handle on the playing time with Birdie.
He did not start on Thursday. I think the idea is to start him pretty soon, but it's kind of a nothing set in stone just yet. Let's put it that way.
Okay. So not rosterable in 12s and probably not in 15s either, but just someone if John Birdie starts getting playing time in New York, we saw what Birdie bags can do to a roster in even like a month or a 6 week heater. That's someone I absolutely have my eye on.
Yep, he can run real hard. The way people like Victor Scott, you can get that out of Birdie real quick as well. So
yeah. So,
but again, we'll fine tune this as the weeks go on and get more. And once more stability is in the season, this will become more of a systematic process that makes a lot more sense. Let's get to some listener questions before we head on out of here. Tommy Hauser says, finally got to put Scherzer on the IL. Would love to hear who you'd like to stash with three IL spots available out of Kershaw, Springs, and Ray for 2024 redraft. I guess rank them in order because I'm guessing he has two more IL spots maybe now. So Kershaw, Springs, and Ray.
Robbie Ray?
Yeah.
Assuming?
Yep.
I don't know what other Ray. It would be Colin Ray.
Goodness gracious.
What I'm talking about. I heard a report. I saw a report today that Kershaw is like ahead of schedule in his rehab. Yep. I don't know what that really means, but I think I'd go Kershaw first and then Springs and then Ray.
I go Kershaw, Ray, Springs personally, but yeah. Ray and Springs is kind of a who can get to the finish line first in that one.
Yep. Agreed.
They're on very similar paths. John Greco just put Royce ... with the praying emoji. Yeah, that was that a
sucks.
Rough one there. Our buddy Heath Caps, thanks for the kind words today, Mr. Yes. Heath Caps. That was
come on. What do you say? Let's give ourselves some
something like he doesn't listen to. I'll let you read it verbatim if you have it.
Yeah, what did he say? I don't know what he said.
It's basically like he doesn't listen to a lot of podcasts, but when he does, Bubba and Bloom are one of the best out there, even though they don't like my dad jokes, basically, is what he came down to.
I don't listen to pods often, but when I do, it's Bubba and Bloom, even if they hate my boring old man pick. So yeah, appreciate it, Heath. And I guess I'll take the opportunity to shill for if you all are enjoying the show and if you're making it an hour 20 in, kindly give us a rate or review on Spotify or Apple. Helps us out a lot.
And then Heath hits my player shares here, I think. I'm going to need MacArthur in some spots where I lost Johan. And he's telling us these things. So, yes, he needs Correa, who was a cheap middle infielder. He had an RBI today. I already have speed locked up by then. Love a chance at a four category contender. Took him in 6 out of 8 since no one was interested. Early prices through though around 250. We will see. So he wants MacArthur and Correa. Wasn't a question, more of things he needs this year, which I feel you, homie. I feel you. Give me some MacArthur saves. That would be absolutely amazing. Michael Cecchini says, hey guys, anyone you feel better about having seen them perform / healthy? Darvish, Montas, Bieber, anyone else?
Bieber. I don't think we didn't talk about Bieber, did we, on the show? I think we did it offline. Wow. Velocity's back. Velocity was back all spring. He was a driveline guy, 11 strikeouts today, albeit against Oakland. That's impressive stuff. You, Darvish, I did mention earlier, looked pretty good against your squad.
And Montas dealt in great.
And Montas, yes, like, only had 4 strikeouts, but yes, Montas also looked good against the Nats at home.
But yeah, Bieber for sure. Bieber was, that's a big one. We said it all spring. If he can just keep velocity, and he did that, he looked real good. The A's help, but he looks real good. Eric Samulski says, just tell the people how good Lawrence Butler could be. Keep up the great work. The skill set's there.
Should we?
I saw your comment on that. Butler had a big spring. He has a nice hit tool in the minors. Didn't have the real chance to show it last year. His production is what is platooning Ester Ruiz. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So he's on the strong side of that platoon. If he can crack into it, he's still super young. This is my way of saying I get it. He could be something nice, but he's still just a streamer for me.
Projected for 15 homers and 8 steals by Baseball HQ over 440 plate appearances. So we like the counting stat part of the equation for Lawrence Butler, although it comes with a 226 projected batting average, 270 OBP, which is
not good.
Yikes.
Curlin, the answer is no. I'm just going to say that. I'm Ryan Mack, for new potential closers in week 1, i.e. Foley, Ginkle, what percentage of the fab do you look to spend in OCs versus mains?
God. So more in the mains just because it's a deeper league and not as many, you know, chances for replacement level. I talked about what I spent for Ginkle, or what I tried to spend for Ginkle, 164 out of 1,000. So I feel like that's a reasonable baseline because, again, I was the runner-up there. Foley, and I'm speaking more 15-team league, $40. I'm just not convinced he has the job over Lang, given what we know as of recording.
Well, what I'm going to use for you here, because you did the 15s and 12s last week, Griffin Jacks went as high as 417, as low as 3. Wouldn't go to 417.
That's helpful. Just do they have an average, or they just do min and max?
No, they just do min and max. Like Kopech was 170-1. Piamps went 374-10. Looking for Abner Uribe 97-1. So I'm just like naming the potential closer guys.
I got in Fab Trevor McGill for like $40 in tout. I think he's sneaky. Yep. In Milwaukee. I don't think we know how that's going to shake out, but I think McGill has a shot there.
Like a lot of 12s last week, I got Jacks for like $48. So yeah. 12s, that just price varies so much. So if your team needs are major for saves, like you lost a dude, then you're probably going more to the 150 to 200 range. Unfortunately, that's why I hate that about closers. But if you're just kind of trying to add a guy or keep him honest, I stick in that $40 to $50 range personally. That's my 2 cents.
Joe Rico says, I got Jacks for 70 in tout.
Saves and holds.
Saves and holds leagues.
I would have drafted him in saves and holds leagues. Because I did that everywhere, like in DCs and stuff. I loved Griffin Jacks. So
still good, $70. Joe, for not only winning Jacks, but figuring out in your first year how to bid for Jacks.
Yes, well done. And you understand the joke. Brad W., you got any sneak peek Fab Bloom board before Market Pulse drops Friday? Fab run tonight.
No, that's all I got right now, man. I do think I will add. I mean, yeah. So this is a process we're learning. I will probably add something to this CBS list. Cut down the like under 50% rostered guys and throw some projections next to them, and we'll call that a board. But only had time to do the schedule on this week, and that's still a work in progress. So we're getting there.
It looks great. It looks great. We're running through it. Any final thoughts, though? Opening day is pretty much in the books. We've got a fun weekend ahead, our second Fab week upon us, and so much more.
No, just stoked that we're back, man. It was awesome to pull back up that MLB app today and just start looking at box scores all the time.
Yeah, a lot of my free time at work was on the MLB app on my phone. It was a beautiful time of the year, and there'll be many more days to do this. But until then, make sure you check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I'm at BD Intrick, and this was Bubba and the Bloom, episode 121. Catch y'all later.